A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human. Send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Daniel sent us this one. He's building a parking spot presence sensor with an ESP32, planning to run it off a single 186050 cell because there's no mains power in the parking space. He wants to know if it's viable, and he's asking us to walk through the actual mathematics step by step using credible numbers so he can decide whether this thing runs for weeks or dies in 2 days. I love this question because it's exactly the moment every hobbyist hits. You've got the idea, you've got the parts, and then you stare at the battery and realize you have no idea how to even start the calculation.
The forums are no help. One guy says 5 years, another guy says his died overnight, and neither of them shows their work. So let's start where everyone starts, staring at an 186050 cell and a datasheet, wondering where to even begin.
The four-step framework Daniel outlined is exactly right. Find the sleep current, find the active and transmit currents, estimate the duty cycle, compute the average daily draw, then divide into the usable battery capacity. The framework is sound. It's the numbers people plug in that are usually wrong.
That's the whole episode right there. The framework versus the numbers. So let me lay out the three power states we're dealing with. First, deep sleep. The ESP32 is mostly asleep, waking only to check a timer. Second, active sensing, the ultrasonic sensor fires a ping, the ESP32 processes the return. Third, LoRaWAN transmission, the radio powers up, sends a packet, listens for a downlink. Those three states have wildly different current draws, and the whole game is weighting them by how much time the device spends in each one.
The trap is that the sleep current number is tiny, so people assume it doesn't matter, but the device spends almost all its time asleep. A small error there gets multiplied across 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. Meanwhile, the transmit current is huge, but it happens for 1.5 seconds at a time, so you have to get both right.
Let's start with the datasheet numbers, because you need a baseline before you can derate anything. ESP32 deep sleep with the RTC memory retained so you can wake on a timer. ESPRSIFE's typical figure is 10 microamps. That's the chip itself. The HCSRO4 ultrasonic sensor draws about 15 milliamps when it's actively pinging, and the ping itself lasts about 50 milliseconds. If you leave the sensor powered between pings, it pulls roughly 2 milliamps in standby, but a smarter design cuts power to the sensor entirely between readings. Use a MOSFET or a GPIO pin to switch it, and that standby current goes to zero.
The smart design is, sensor is off between pings, ESP32 wakes, powers the sensor, pings, reads, powers the sensor down, goes back to sleep. That way, the sensor only costs you current during those 50 millisecond windows.
Then the LoRaWAN module, an RFM95 or SX1276, which is what most of these projects use. Transmitting at plus 20 dBm, which is the maximum power setting and what you'd want for a parking garage, draws about 120 milliamps. The packet transmission takes roughly 1.5 seconds. After transmitting, the module opens a receive window to listen for a downlink from the gateway. That's about 10 milliamps for half a second. 2 receive windows if you're using LoRaWAN class A, which is standard. So each transmission event is 1.5 seconds at 120 milliamps, plus 1 second total of receive windows at 10 milliamps.
How often is it transmitting?
Daniel said maybe once every couple of days. Let's be conservative and say 4 times a day, once every 6 hours. That's enough to report status changes without being excessive. For the ultrasonic pings, the question is how often you need to check. A car doesn't appear or disappear in seconds. Checking once every 5 minutes is plenty. That's 288 pings per day.
Now we do the math. And this is where I want you to walk through the unit conversions, because this is the part that trips people up. Milliamps times milliseconds doesn't give you milliamp hours, unless you convert the time units properly.
This is the single most useful thing we'll say today. When you're calculating battery life, you need everything in milliamp hours. Current is in milliamps, time is in hours. If your event lasts milliseconds, you convert milliseconds to hours by dividing by 3.6 million. That's 1,000 milliseconds per second times 3,600 seconds per hour. Or you can think of it as dividing by 3,600 to get to seconds, then by another 1,000. Either way, the conversion factor from milliseconds to hours is 1 over 3.6 million.
Walk through one ping.
One ultrasonic ping, 15 milliamps for 50 milliseconds, 15 times 50 divided by 3.6 million. That's 750 divided by 3.6 million, which is 0.000208 milliamp hours per ping. It's a comically small number. Multiply by 288 pings per day, and you get 0.06 milliamp hours per day for the ultrasonic sensor. That's the active sensing budget.
The LoRaWAN transmit?
4 transmissions per day. Each one is 120 milliamps for 1.5 seconds, but we need seconds converted to hours. 1.5 seconds divided by 3600 is 0.00417 hours. So each transmission is 120 times 0.000417. That's 0.05 milliamp hours per transmission. 4 per day gives us 0.2 milliamp hours per day. The receive windows are 4 events times 10 milliamps times 1 second total per event, converted to hours. That's 4 times 10 times 0.000278, which is 0.011 milliamp hours per day. Tiny, but we'll include it for completeness.
Then the deep sleep, which is the big one because it runs constantly.
10 microamps is 0.01 milliamps. Running for 24 hours, that's 0.01 times 24, which is 0.24 milliamp hours per day. So let's sum the spreadsheet perfect numbers. Ultrasonic, 0.06. LoRa transmit, 0.2. LoRa receive, 0.011. Deep sleep, 0.24. Total daily draw, roughly 0.51 milliamp hours per day. That's the number your spreadsheet gives you, and it's beautiful and wrong.
That's the moment where you lean back and think, my 3,000 milliamp hour battery will last 5,800 days, which is 16 years, and I am a genius.
Then your device dies in 3 weeks, and you're on the forum posting, what happened to my battery life? So let's add the first layer of reality. Your 1865 cell outputs a nominal 3.7 volts, but it actually ranges from 4.2 volts fully charged down to about 3 volts empty. Your ESP32 and sensors want 3.3 volts. You need a voltage regulator. If you use a linear regulator, an LDO, low dropout regulator, the efficiency is basically the output voltage divided by the input voltage. At 3.7 volts in and 3.3 out, that's about 89%. The other 11% is burned as heat. So your 0.51 milliamp hours drawn by the circuit actually requires 0.51 divided by 0.89, which is 0.57 milliamp hours from the battery.
Not a huge hit, but it's real. And it gets worse as the battery voltage drops. At 3.3 volts in, the LDO can't even regulate properly. And below that, the system browns out, so you can't use the full capacity of the cell anyway.
Right, which brings us to the battery capacity derating. A 3000 mAh 18650 cell, and that's a quality cell like a Samsung or Panasonic, not a no-name with an optimistic label, should never be discharged below 3.0 volts. Going lower damages the cell permanently, and the voltage drops off a cliff below about 3.2 volts anyway. The usable capacity between 4.2 and 3.0 volts is typically about 80% of the rated capacity. So your 3,000 mAh cell is really a 2,400 mAh cell in practice. At 0.57 mAh per day, your runtime is 2,400 divided by 0.57, which is about 4,200 days. That's still over 11 years, and that's still wrong.
Far, we've got a spreadsheet that says this thing runs for over a decade, and every builder listening knows that's absurd. So where does the spreadsheet actually break?
The first break is the deep sleep current. I said 10 microamps, that's the ESP32 chip itself, the bare silicon, under ideal lab conditions. But you're not using bare silicon. You're using a DEB board, and DEB boards have voltage regulators, USB to UART bridges, power LEDs, pull-up resistors. All of those draw current even when the ESP32 is in deep sleep. A typical ESP32 dev board, the kind you buy for $5 on the internet, can draw anywhere from 50 to 150 microamps in deep sleep, not 10. I've measured boards that draw 5 milliamps in so-called sleep because the USB chip never powers down.
The sleep current isn't 10 microamps. It might be 100. That's a factor of 10 right there.
That alone takes your daily sleep budget from 0.24 milliamp hours to 2.4. Suddenly, your total daily draw is closer to 2.7 milliamp hours, and your runtime drops from 11 years to about 2.5 years. Still not bad, but we're not done.
This is where Daniel's skepticism about LoRaWAN actually working in a parking garage becomes directly relevant to the battery math.
It's the killer variable. LoRaWAN at 8068 or 915 MHz does not like reinforced concrete. The rebar mesh in concrete floors and walls acts as a Faraday cage, not a perfect one, but enough to attenuate the signal by 20 to 30 dB. If your parking sensor is in an underground garage, the gateway might be on a different floor, with multiple slabs of concrete and rebar between them. The link budget might be marginal. And when the link budget is marginal, packets get lost. LoRaWAN uses confirmed transmissions for important data. The device sends a packet, then listens for an acknowledgement. If it doesn't get one, it retransmits, usually at a lower data rate, which means a longer airtime, which means more current per attempt.
Retransmissions multiply your transmit budget. If half your packets need a retry, your daily transmit current goes from 0.2 milliamp hours to 0.3 or 0.4. If the coverage is really bad and you're retrying 2 or 3 times per transmission, it could easily be 0.5 to 1 milliamp hour per day, just for the radio.
There's another subtlety. When the signal is marginal, the LoRaWAN module might switch to a lower data rate, say from spreading factor 7 to spreading factor 12. At SF12, the same payload takes about 25 times longer to transmit. A packet that took 50 milliseconds at SF7 might take over a second at SF12. Your transmit current is the same, 120 milliamps, but it's flowing for much longer. So a single transmission in poor conditions could cost you 0.03 milliamp hours instead of 0.05. It doesn't sound like much, but multiply by retransmissions and it adds up.
Let's build the pessimistic scenario. Assume a dev board that draws 80 microamps in deep sleep. That's realistic for a board with a decent LDO and the USB chip disabled. Assume 6 transmissions per day instead of 4, accounting for a 50% retransmission rate. And assume the battery capacity is further derated by temperature. If this parking spot gets cold in winter, and I'm guessing it does, battery capacity drops about 20% at freezing compared to room temperature.
Let's run those numbers. Deep sleep at 80 microamps, 0.08 milliamps times 24 hours is 1.92 milliamp hours per day. Ultrasonic pings unchanged at 0.06. LoRa transmit at 6 events, 0.05 each, is 0.3. Receive windows at 6 times, 0.003 is 0.018. Total daily draw, about 2.3 milliamp hours per day. Battery capacity, 3,000 milliamp hours times 70%, that's 80% for usable voltage range, then another hit for temperature and aging, so let's call it 2,100 usable milliamp hours. Runtime 2,100 divided by 2.3 is about 913 days, or 2.5 years.
2.5 years is actually great. That's a viable project. But the margin is thinner than people think, and a few bad assumptions can collapse it.
The nightmare scenario is the underground concrete parking garage with the gateway 3 floors up. Deep sleep at 150 microamps because it's a cheap board. Retransmissions pushing you to 10 or 12 transmission attempts per day, some at SF12. Now your daily draw might be 5 to 8 milliamp hours. With a cold battery at 70% capacity, your runtime is 2100 divided by 6, which is 350 days. Still almost a year. But now you're in the territory where a particularly cold winter, or a battery that's a few years old and has higher self-discharge, pushes you below 6 months.
Self-discharge is the silent killer that nobody accounts for. A quality 1865 loses 3 to 5% of its charge per month just sitting there. Over a year, that's 36 to 60% of the capacity gone without doing any useful work. In a multi-year deployment, self-discharge can dominate the power budget.
If your device draws 2 milliamp hours per day, that's about 730 milliamp hours per year for the circuit. But the battery is also losing maybe 150 milliamp hours per year to self-discharge. It's not negligible, and in very low power designs, it can be the largest single consumer.
What do you actually do about all this? Because the point isn't to scare people out of building things. The point is to build things that work.
The single most important thing you can do is measure. Before you commit to a final design, put a multimeter in series with your actual board and measure the deep sleep current. Not the ESP32 chip, your actual board with whatever regulator and peripherals are on it. You might find it draws 15 microamps and you're golden. You might find it draws 5 milliamps and you need to desolder the power LED and the USB UART bridge or switch to a bare ESP32 module without all the dev board cruft.
That's the thing. A bare ESP32 WRoom module on a custom board with a good LDO and no USB chip can genuinely hit that 10 to 15 microamp sleep current. The chip isn't lying to you. The dev board is.
The second thing is design for adaptive behavior. Daniel mentioned the sensor could just flash a local LED if the LoRaWAN doesn't work, and that's actually a great power-saving strategy. If the car present state hasn't changed, don't transmit. If you've been checking every 5 minutes and the car has been there for 6 hours, you don't need to tell the gateway again. Only transmit on state change or at most once a day as a heartbeat. That could cut your daily transmissions from 4 to less than 1 on average.
Unless you live somewhere where cars come and go constantly. But even then, a parking spot typically sees maybe 2 to 4 state changes per day. You're not transmitting every time you ping.
You can stretch the ping interval. 5 minutes is conservative. 10 minutes is still more than fast enough for a parking sensor. You're not going to walk to your car, get in, and drive away in less than 10 minutes. At one ping every 10 minutes, you have the ultrasonic power budget. It's already tiny, but every bit helps when you're chasing years of runtime.
There's also the hardware choices. An ESP32 module with an external antenna connector, a UFL or IPEX connector, gives you a few dB better link budget than a PCB trace antenna. In a marginal coverage situation, those few dB might be the difference between a clean transmission at SF7 and a retry at SF12. The antenna gain directly translates to battery life.
If you're designing a board from scratch, use a buck converter instead of a linear regulator. A buck converter can be 85 to 95% efficient across the whole battery voltage range, versus an LDO that gets worse as the battery voltage drops. The quiescent current of a good buck converter might be a few tens of microamps, which is higher than a good LDO's quiescent current, but the improved efficiency under load often more than makes up for it. You have to run the numbers for your specific duty cycle.
Let's talk about the spreadsheet. The framework Daniel should build, and anyone listening should build, has 3 columns. Optimistic, realistic, pessimistic. The optimistic column uses datasheet numbers and ideal conditions. The realistic column uses measured sleep current, a reasonable retransmission rate, and 80% battery capacity. The pessimistic column uses worst-case sleep current, worst-case retransmissions, cold temperature derating, and aging.
The rule of thumb is, if the pessimistic column gives you a runtime that meets your minimum requirement, build it with confidence. If only the optimistic column works, you're going to be disappointed. If the realistic column works, but the pessimistic column doesn't, you have a judgment call, and you should probably add a way to charge the battery or swap it easily.
For Daniel's parking sensor, the realistic numbers suggest 2 to 3 years of runtime, and even the pessimistic case with poor low RAWAN coverage gives you close to a year. That's viable. That's worth building. The key is to build the local logic first. The ultrasonic sensor and the LED indicator. Get that running on battery. Measure the actual current draw, and then layer on the LoRaWAN as a bonus. That way, even if the network piece fails or costs more power than expected, you still have a useful device.
That's the fallback first design philosophy. It's not just good engineering, it's good psychology. You get a win early, a working parking sensor with a local indicator, and then you can iterate on the connectivity without the pressure of the whole project depending on it.
The other thing I'd add is that if you're running the device for years, you need to think about battery replacement. An 18650 holder that lets you swap the cell without desoldering is worth the extra couple of dollars. And if the parking spot gets any ambient light, even a tiny solar panel, like a 1-watt panel, changes the entire calculus. A 1-watt panel in indirect light might give you 50 to 100 milliwatts for a few hours a day. That's tens of milliamp hours per day, which is an order of magnitude more than the device draws.
Solar takes you from can it survive to can it run indefinitely, which is a much more interesting question. But that's a whole other episode. You've got maximum power point tracking, charge controllers, battery chemistry considerations for float charging. It's a deep rabbit hole.
The math we walked through today isn't hard. It's just tedious. Unit conversions, duty cycle estimates, derating factors. But running those numbers before USADA saves you from the particular heartbreak of building something clever, installing it, and watching it die in a week, because you trusted the datasheet sleep current.
The numbers are all there in the datasheets. 10 microamps for the ESP32 chip, 15 milliamps for the HCSR04 ping, 120 milliamps for the LoRaWAN transmit. The framework is, weight each current by how long it flows per day, sum them, divide into your derated battery capacity. The art is knowing which numbers to derate and by how much.
Measure your actual board. Design for the pessimistic case. Build the local logic first. And if you do all that, your parking sensor will probably outlast your car.
Now, Hilbert's daily fun fact.
In the 1780s, a French naturalist proposed that the rightful kings of Madagascar could be identified by their ability to balance a lemur on their head during the coronation ceremony, the theory being that the true sovereign emitted a unique animal-calming magnetism. The theory was published in a Parisian scientific journal and debated seriously for nearly a decade before anyone thought to actually test it.
I have so many questions, and I'm not sure I want answers to any of them.
The lemur vetoed the whole thing, presumably.
What happens when you add solar charging to the 186050? Does a small 1-watt panel change the calculus from can it survive to can it run indefinitely? That's a question worth its own episode, and if listeners want that, let us know. For now, the takeaway is simple. The math isn't mysterious. Run it before you build, measure what you actually built, and design for the world as it is, not as the datasheet promises.
This has been My Weird Prompts. Thanks to our producer, Hilbert Flumentop. If you enjoyed this episode, tell someone who's ever stared at a battery and a datasheet and wondered where to start. Email the show at show@myweirdprompts.com.
Go build something that lasts.
This episode's script was written by DeepSeek V4 Pro, with text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, My Weird Prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore. A thought you've never heard before. The hosts dig in, the hosts dig deep. The stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too. From half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close. From sloth, from man, from long ear host. Until next time, stay curious, keep weird in mind.